America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're here with Coach Wunstead. And Dave, so much to go over. We'll get to the college stuff, but I'm just curious, David, you brought up a couple of really interesting points. You know, when you look at Matt Eberflus and where he's at right now, I was telling David, we did the postgame show, we took calls, and like about the first 14, 15 all said fire the coach. I mean, it was incredible how people seem to have turned on him. And he is probably doing the right thing in terms of staying with Shane Waldron with a game against New England coming up. You would hope that they can beat the Patriots at home, given the fact that if the season ended today, they'd have the number one pick. That's the worst team in the league right now, although they got a good young quarterback too. But they're in a bit of turmoil. When you think about staying with the coordinator or staying with the play caller, I don't know how many you get as a defensive guy in charge, and you always had guys that you trusted and you knew and you could lean on, like Ron Turner, like Matt Kavanaugh. What do you think when you hear all this noise around Shane Waldron right now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that I'm disappointed there because I said on this show when they hired him, I said, well, the thing that I liked about him, he was on staff with Pete Carroll. He was on staff with Bill Belichick, both defensive head coaches. So he understands, because both those guys would just soon run it every play than throw it. You know, and I'm saying that sarcastically, but my point is that if you're going to work for those guys, the running game is going to be very important to you. So I was kind of excited that he had that background. And I don't know. We're just not seeing it. I was hoping in the last game that we would come out and do a little hurry-up offense, spread everybody out.
They started that way. They started well.
I know.
Then they got away from it.
Penalties killed them.
Yeah.
You know, penalties killed them again. And you know, I mean, the movement passes, the play action, and just the numbers. Let me stop there because it's halftime, 24 passes and 12 runs. To me, that's not balanced.
No.
That's not balanced in anybody's book. And you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody's saying, oh, they've turned it around. You know, the head coach is the only guy there that's going to screw that thing up for them, in my opinion. But what they're doing offensively.
It's so true.
But what they're doing offensively, guys, they are running the ball 65% of the time.
Saquon Barkley.
And Jalen Hurts has come alive.
Yep.
All of a sudden, guys are
one-on-one. Turnovers.
No turnovers. Yes. All of a sudden, yep. David, guys are one-on-one.
And Vic Fangio runs that defense.
Their defense is
pretty good.
Is caught fire. Why? They're rested.
Yep.
You know, so the big picture thing is I would do this. If I was Flus, I would Eric Washington knows your defense. I would give him more responsibilities week. And I don't know how much time Flus is spending in those offensive meetings. And I'm not talking about drawing up plays, but I'm just talking
overseeing it.
Thank you. What's our emphasis? How many boots and movement passes do we have with Caleb? That's what he does best, right?
Do that more.
Do that more.
See, Dave, I think that's a great point and a direction they should probably go. I don't trust the Bears to show any kind of grasp of common sense. I think they have a stunning lack of common sense in terms of their approach to balance, to decisions in game. So I got to ask you this. Yesterday, Kurt Warner on this station didn't have a problem with Caleb Williams still being in the game at the end of it when it was 29-9 and he was under siege. He was under siege. Yeah. He was under attack. As a head coach, how do you defend that? I think that was the worst decision on a day full of bad ones. But Caleb Williams in the game, exposed to injury when you're down 29-9, made no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, what Flew said, they wanted to work on the 2-minute drill, but I don't know. At this point in the season, if he's in there, maybe just hand it off. And at some point in these games, it's over. You know what I'm saying? And
he's taking too many hits.
And he's
whether that's his fault or anyone else's fault, it's getting sacked 6 times.
And when you're behind, you're right. When you're behind like they were, and it's the end of the game, Arizona's not thinking about anything except getting into quarterback. So it's putting that much more pressure on our offensive line. You know, they could afford to take some chances and blitz, even though that's not really what they want to do a lot. You know, no. I mean, it's that was a tough one. I would have run the ball probably, or you take him out and get Bajan some work. Hell, I mean, it wasn't like we were going to be able to come back and win the game at that point. It was pretty much over, you know?
Hey, we want to let you know you can join Coach Wannstedt with Mark Rohde live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan, for the Four Winds Football Forecast. That's next Monday, November 11th. The event is free to the public. It starts at 6:30 p.m. our time, Central Time. It's 7:30 Eastern Time. Technically, you'll be in Michigan, so I think it's 7:30 there, but 6:30 in our hearts. And Dave will be giving a mid-season review and forecast for the rest of the season, plus you can get an autograph and a photo with Dave before that Monday night game. I'm sure Grody would also pose for a photo.
Oh, I'm sure. He's very photogenic.
He's a handsome man.
He is. Nice smile.
That's Monday, November 11th. Who doesn't want to go to the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan on 11/11? Think about it. Give me the yo.
And probably win some money, huh?
Yeah, it's bound to.
That's right. The odds are with you.
The odds are with you.
worth
That'll
left.
Be fun, Dave. That's good
yeah,
stuff.
It
Mark's
is. Good,
great.
Good people yeah. upper.
Dave, as a defensive coach, when you watch the Bears try to stop the run, why couldn't they? And does that just mean they are that dependent on Montez Sweat?
Well, they had, the schemes that they were running. I mean, they were getting hats on people now. This was not a situation where that offensive line of Arizona, from what I was watching it a couple of times, just went out there and fell on the ground. I mean, they were blocking us. They were getting the ball on the edge. They were running that counter play, blocked on, kick out. And, with that particular play, you got to wreck it all, in my opinion, and kick everything to the sidelines. You can't let those backs run downhill. And, they just didn't execute it. I don't think that they were surprised by that play. I would have to go back and watch Arizona's run game leading up to that. They were running the ball well. That's the only thing they were really doing pretty good. But the quarterback, Kyler Murray, was averaging 8 yards a carry. So he was a big part of the run game, and he really wasn't in this game. I mean, from a rushing standpoint, Murray, what do you have, 6 yards rushing, So he wasn't a factor like he had been, two carries for 6 yards, 3 yards a carry. I'm looking at the stat thing right here
didn't
now.
Didn't need it.
Yeah, so didn't need it, which is a tough deal there. Yep. And they averaged 6.5 yards a carry almost, right. And we were 3.5 yards. I mean, you got no chance there, no chance.
Can I ask you a big picture question philosophically? You were in the unique position of, you worked for the McCaskies. You were the Bears head coach in a season where maybe you started to struggle at midway through it. And maybe you heard calls for your job.
Oh, 100%.
But always there was this, the mantra, and it was true then and it's true now. The Bears have never fired a coach in season.
Right.
What is your best understanding of why that is? Because you look around the NFL and there are examples. We saw it in New Orleans. We'll see it. We saw it in New York. We'll see it somewhere else before the season is over, I predict. Why are the Bears so different in that way? Is there something about the family tradition? What is it?
You hit it, David. Everything is about the tradition of the Bears going back, obviously, to George Halas. You know, and Virginia was always, you know, she was going to follow in those footsteps, and obviously George and Michael and so forth. I mean, they're in line there. So that was always the history. It was just something that they didn't want to do. I mean, the McCaskies are good people. They truly want to win. Nobody out there I know listening wants to hear that, but they do. Right. You know, they're spending money now, which was different back in the era, you know, back in the days. So they're spending money now. They're doing whatever they can do to win. But there's still a lot of those football traditional things with rule changes, with sometimes uniforms, with stadium stuff that they won't budge because that's not, you know, the Halas tradition. Yep. So they stay along those lines. That's the only answer I can come up with. And now, though, it's a little bit different. I mean, before it was always McCaskey and Ted Phillips, you know, or maybe a GM, you know, but now I think Poles has more authority than a GM's probably had during a long time. And then you got Kevin White in the mix. Kevin Warren, I'm sorry. Then you got, you know, George McCaskey. So you got a lot more people involved now.
Is it dated?
Does that?
Is it a dated concept then?
Well, I don't know.
That
what are we going to accomplish?
I'm asking.
There's
as
many people want to fire the offensive coordinator.
I mean, honestly, who are you going to hire?
Yeah,
who takes over?
Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator. I mean, come on.
He's not even calling the defenses.
Yeah.
Why not start with that before you make it to head coach? But I'm serious.
It's a very good counter, but then it makes me wonder, okay, Luke Getsy gets fired in Vegas.
Yes.
They had to fire two assistant coaches last year. There's nobody qualified to be a head coach on this staff. Can Matt Eberflus hire assistant coaches?
Well, maybe he's not hiring his replacement.
Well, I just wonder about that because
I think it's a legitimate wonder.
Not with a 1-year contract, he's not. To me, that's a big deal. You know, how many assistant coaches you're going to get?
Yeah. Where the guys come in for a season knowing the coaches.
John Hoke is probably the most qualified at his position coaching at Halas Hall. He's not going to take over as head coach. It's just probably because he's not a guy that's ever done that before. I don't know who the answer would be, but I think to use that as the crutch for why you wouldn't make a change probably bothers some people.
Isn't that the same thing, though, with the offensive coordinator? Because you think about it, okay, you got a guy there that called plays for Carolina. I mean, do you want to get that going? No offense to anyone, but I'm just saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it goes back to...
It went number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, hey, there's 9 games left. You know, if I can just try to slow this thing down a little bit, and I know right now that the train is off the tracks.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with that. But if we can win this week... Which we should win.
If they don't win this week,
Let's say we win this week. It gives us 5. Now you got to find a way to split with your last 8 games to give you 9. We said this, and I think everybody agreed here when we started this season. Oh, you know, playoffs or Flus is gone and they're a bust. And we kind of backed off that and said, you know, if they have a winning season and Caleb Williams makes strides forward, that will be enough to say, you know what? You know, we went from 7 wins to 9 wins and our quarterback, we really like the direction he's going.
And now we wonder if he'll survive the season, frankly. Seriously. And that has to do with the offensive line, which was not put together by Flus.
Which will be the next level of conversation and criticism. If this continues to be something trending in the wrong direction, we're going to shift our focus from who's coaching this team to who's putting the roster together and why there's continued neglect of the offensive line.
Yeah, and you know, the old expression, I've said this, you know, coaches can lose a game, but don't lose the locker room.
Yeah.
If you lose the locker room, you're dead. And we've got a couple guys.
Well, DJ Moore said. Never mind.
No, yeah. don't even. You're unbelievable.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But what I'm saying is you better have the right guys out there just laying it on the line. And this is critical now. You know, Flew says we've got great, you know, relationships with our players and great rapport with them. And everybody's, I mean, this is the time we're going to be tested this week. So, yeah, this will be an issue. And this is, God, I mean, you know, did Drake May get hurt, the quarterback for the, you know, he's come. He played. He went out of the game back in.
Not quite sure what his status is. He's got a higher passer rating than Caleb Williams right now.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I didn't look at that yet.
All right. Let's get to the college stuff. Dave, we're going to see the first college football selection committee rankings of the new era, the 12-team playoff. I'm just curious how, and I mean, this is my biggest question, so maybe it's unfair to put it that way, but how are they going to handle SEC Big Ten teams with a loss or two versus teams that are from conferences where they're not playing near as tough a schedule? I just want to know, are they looking to, are they looking for the best teams in the country? Do they want to find the best team, or are they looking for the teams that are the cleanest?
Well, number one, they're supposed to evaluate off of film. The committee, okay? And we don't know how
That's
tough. I agree.
That's really tough.
But I'll tell you what, brand does carry weight.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not so sure that Indiana is not one of the three best teams in the country right now.
But they haven't beaten anybody.
But they don't have the brand. They don't have the brand, and they haven't beaten a top team.
Yeah.
The best thing that happened to the Big Ten, you know, in working for them, I'm real familiar with them, is, I hate to say this, is Penn State losing. Because Penn State has a chance now to, you know, the conversation would have been, think about this, people. If Penn State would have beat Ohio State, and let's just say Ohio State would run the table, they're going to be two-loss team.
Yeah.
Now, their two losses are going to be good losses. I still think that the committee would say they're one of the 12 best teams in the country. They should.
Yes.
Okay, so put Ohio State in that box. If Clemson, who lost the game last week, if Clemson loses another game, is Clemson one of the 12 best teams? I don't know.
But
right?
If you watch the tape, you can't watch the tape and pick 12 because you're going to have – you have to have Boise State. You've got to have BYU. Those aren't teams that are going to jump off the tape and tell you that they're one of the 12 best teams in the country.
Okay, so Alabama is at LSU this Saturday.
Yep.
They both have two losses.
Yep.
Does that mean
– I think three losses, you're out.
So it's an elimination game on Saturday.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with you, Dave.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is awesome.
That's going to happen. And I think the Big Ten is going to get four teams in. You know, I mean, they're going to get four. Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, Oregon, arguably the best team in the country.
Oregon,
Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State. Okay.
What if Indiana ends up losing at Ohio State?
They could
still get in?
Oh, yeah. One loss, yes.
But they haven't played anybody.
Boise
That'd be
State,
the only big game they have.
Brigham Young, Notre Dame. I'm running out of fingers.
How do you handle Notre Dame?
Notre Dame wins out. They're in.
Okay.
They're in.
One loss Notre Dame. Okay.
Yeah.
They can't lose.
I don't think the one loss teams, I think that's an easy decision for the committee. I think it gets down to there's going to be a couple two-loss teams, guys.
Yeah.
Couple two-loss teams that are going to be in the conversation. And
they're going to be so disappointed in the SEC that if they have a team that is
Alabama
three losses,
is out.
That's my point.
Yep.
If you have a team that good that changed coaches and now is eliminated.
Ole Miss got two losses right now, right? They're 7-2. Texas A&M's got two losses.
Right.
Okay.
Alabama beat Georgia, and they're top of the – I'm sorry.
How about your Panthers?
Oh, God. They got
– I know.
They got – I mean,
sorry,
embarrassed. I'm looking right
too
here.
Too soon?
SMU.
Too soon, Dave.
SMU is right on the cusp of getting in.
They got one loss.
They got one loss, and Pitt was ranked
18th,
and they crushed Pitt.
Is the college football playoff does it have room for Cinderella?
No.
I don't know.
No, because if Cinderella's in the SEC,
you know the Cinderella.
That's not Cinderella.
You know the Cinderella. It's going to be just like in the NFL. The wild card it's going to be that that's going to be that 10th, 11th, or 12th team that gets in
and then
and has to go on the road
and then wins
and then wins out
gets hot and stays healthy
and gets healthy and gets hot and wins the championship, David. That's going to be the Cinderella
that's
team.
That's fun.
So you're picking the Bears this weekend?
I'm picking the Bears.
Yeah, make it sure.
I'm staying with them. I'm staying with them. Yes.
Up to the bitter end.
Up to the bitter end.
It's hard to understand why, but you
up
are.
Up to the bitter end of this game. This coming.
You're staying with them.
Let's one at a time. Yeah. One at a time this week.
That's great stuff. Coach, you're the best. Thank you. We appreciate it. That's Dave. Coach Wannstedt. Right, it's Mully and Haw on the score.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The confidence is high, and you know it's been our season, right? Our season's been, you know, we've won some, and then you know we've lost some. We're sitting at 4-4, you know. So right now, that's where we are, and it's important that we focus on this week, you know, and that's all we can control, and doing a better job of putting our guys in position as coaches to be successful, and that's ultimately my job. And the coordinator's job, secondly. So it's important that we do a great job of that with the position coaches, partnering up with the players, and put those guys in position to succeed.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. There's your guy, Matt Eberflus.
What, being worried?
He's got a little Maxion action in
what
his
crisis?
Heart.
What crisis? Oh, stop.
That's what it is.
He does. Those guys just believe. They're eternal optimists, right?
You have to. Yeah. That's it.
I think that when you look at it big picture, he's looking at it the way he has to look at it. Yeah. One game to get back on track, to redirect your season, and not overreact the way that we are overreacting in his view. I did think it was interesting yesterday, though, when he was asked to cite specific ways the Bears are improving. It's hard to find an area where they have improved the last 2 weeks.
Okay. I think, like we talked about it, the best thing that came out of the game is the kicker went 3-for-3 on field goals, which is that is damning with faint praise. But I think that the quarterback doesn't turn the ball over.
Okay.
That the only positive that I've seen out of Caleb Williams is he's protecting the ball. He doesn't throw picks. He's getting air in the ball. He's throwing the ball out of bounds. There's times when it'll drive you crazy.
Do you realize how low you have just lowered the bar?
I am lowering the bar even
you
lower.
You could have drafted somebody in the fourth round to do that.
You could have.
Caleb Williams was taken number one
Tyson
overall.
Tyson Bagent could do that.
Yes.
I'm not saying – I mean, but David, my point is simply you wanted some positive with the guy. I'll give you a positive.
Fair enough.
He's not throwing interceptions.
They're protecting the football. They are. They're not doing much else well.
They're not doing anything else that
would qualify as improvement.
That was the worst game of the year.
I would like
coming
to –
coming off the worst game of the
year. Yes, the worst loss of the year. I think we agree on that. Dave supported that as well.
Yeah.
What you want to hear, and I wish Dave was here forever. I mean, and not forever, but another segment.
I can run down the hallway.
No, that's okay.
If you don't want to talk to me.
He's pretty fast. He's got a good first step. I want to talk to you. I want to get your thought on this. I what is the value of a coach just being visceral, just responding in a way that just, I don't know specifically how we're going to improve or how we're going to get better, but we have to, because we have to win this game. If we don't win this game, you think today's feels bad in Chicago? Value is there? We don't see him react.
Let's talk about that for a second.
There's no emotion.
Because I think what we want, and I'm talking about all of us, what people want to see, they want to, you know, we'll never forget the way they thrilled the nation with the T formation. That was about the last time where the Bears did something different, exotic. They came up with a solution where you were kind of like, wow, look at what they're doing. They're reinventing the game. They don't do that here. They haven't done that here. There's not a lot of innovation. And say what you want about Matt Eberflus. You know exactly what kind of football coach is. He is. He's a football-y football coach who believes in football and is going to coach you to play football. He's not going to come up with any kind of fancy damn way of looking at
it. Here's what I can't get past.
But that's what he wants to do, is knock off the trickery and the nonsense and run the damn ball and play complimentary football. Let me tell you something. That works if your defense is good enough.
It does work.
If Montez Sweat is able to play, that will work. It'll certainly work against New England.
I agree with everything you said. It's sensible. It's logical. It's on point. Here's what I can't get past sometimes. You brought it up, so I'm going to go there. The action part of it. Matt Eberflus was a record-setting
tackle machine.
He played linebacker back in the day, right?
For Nick Saban.
Okay, for Nick Saban. You know what you have to have when you play middle linebacker? You have to have a switch that you flip and you become a football maniac.
Yeah.
You have to have something within you that is intense and comes out when the lights are on. I haven't seen that in Matt Eberflus, the coach.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take to see that glimpse of a guy who was a tackle machine. That's a linebacker? He comes across as a punter, as a kicker, as a very well-reserved quarterback.
You that Australian kid.
Okay, I'm just saying, I want to see a little, I know it's meatball reaction. I want to see a little reaction to what's going on. Little fire and brimstone, you know, please.
Here's what we've seen. We've seen a guy coach a team that had a terrible loss because there was a lack of focus by a player at the end of the game. A terrible loss because it robbed the young quarterback of the moment where he brought a team back and won the game in the final 30 seconds in his hometown. And we would have had a different conversation. His reaction to that was to, again, remain positive. Everything's upbeat. Then he gets second-guessed by everyone on God's earth, including his own team. So his reaction to that is to tell everyone, hey, you know, please, you want to come talk to me, come through the open door. And then you go and you lose the worst loss of the year. And his reaction to that is, mea culpa, mea culpa.
It was my fault.
Tutti mea culpa.
We were late getting to the game. You know, we were bad traffic. It's all my fault.
I'm sorry,
the weather wasn't better. I was responsible for the hail.
I told you. Somebody belched in the third row of the press box. I'm sorry about the smell of pastrami and salami. I feel bad that the delicatessen sent
the roof isn't closing on time. That's my fault, too.
Exactly. That's not a coach reaction.
Okay, so you know what?
He's changed. His reaction
has been scripted
to go super nice guy.
Yes, but you know what?
And want him to go a little bit werewolf.
I want him to react to the 53-yard touchdown run in the final seconds against a team that didn't have the effort and wasn't there for the execution.
And how did he react?
And you know what? I want him to react as a coach the way he would have as a linebacker on that defense.
And how did he react?
He reacted like with a shrug.
He said, oh, that's my fault.
It's my fault.
I called the wrong
a pass defense. No, you know what? I want you in somebody's face. I want you to talk about it like you got in somebody's face because were lollygagging around, playing passive the wrong angle, and said waited for somebody else to make a tackle that was never made.
What would you prefer in your coach? Would you rather have Nick Sirianni screaming at fans or Matt Eberflus thinking full?
I hate when you do that. Nick Sirianni screaming at fans. If Nick Sirianni screaming at players, I might be okay with that occasionally. Stay away from the fans, man. Get a grip. I don't want unhinged. I want intense.
Sounds like you want unhinged.
I want intense.
I am not arguing with anything you're saying. Here's the thing, and we talked about it after the Washington game, that, hey, you know, Matt Eberflus, wake the hell up. The season's getting away from you.
Thank you.
You've got to tell your captains.
That's it.
You're no longer a captain. Get out of here.
Something.
You got to do something. And he went full apology on all of it.
Find his inner linebacker.
Yeah.
Tap into that.
Yep.
You have it somewhere within you. You know it.
Yeah.
We
found his inner beekeeper.
And we know that he's got a very well manicured lawn and driveway.
And bees.
Okay. And he can host a party with the best of them. Great haircut.
Yeah.
But you know what?
A little bit
more disheveled, a little bit more intense.
Yes.
Give me some more linebacker, less head coach.
I like you're saying. It is so rockhead.
I know. Today I feel like a rockhead.
I love it. It appeals to me. But I do feel like his response to this has been a guy that wants to throw another Gatsby party, not a guy that wants to, like, okay, here's my lawn. Let's tear it apart with our turkey bowl game.
I respect calm and measured. You know I do. I love that approach to life, mostly. But there are times when you have to flip a switch.
Yeah. We've seen you flip that switch. You are a living hell when that happens.
I don't know.
You should bring that fury to the coach.
Okay.
No, but you're right. He's not responded the way that you would think.
I've been surprised.
I've been a little disappointed.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree. I don't think I like accountable Flusie. I prefer sort of denial Flusie.
Have we ever seen combative Flusie?
No, we haven't.
And I wonder, that's got to be within him.
Well,
and if
when you point it out, I hear you.
I think this got to be within him.
Right.
So I'm okay with that. You want to be combative? Be combative. Because you know what? If that's who you are, be that guy.
What if it's not who you are?
Then they got the wrong guy.
What if the beast?
You've got to have that within you. No.
But the beast has been silenced.
I thought you said bees.
No, beast. He used to be a beast. That's what you're saying.
He used to be a beast.
He was a werewolf.
Yes.
And now he's been cured.
Well, beekeeping will do that to you, maybe.
He does have a little...
That's what I thought you said.
No,
bees within him.
Bees. There's a big buzz about Matt Eberflus. It's just the bees on his property. Look, we're being mean to him. I want the guy to win.
I respect him. I like him. I want him to succeed. But I think at this point in time, midway through this third season, when it's crisis mode, you got to find what's worked for you in the past. And as a football coach, maybe this wasn't he's never been a head coach before in this kind of situation. Go with what's natural. Be Flusie.
We are back to the hits principle, only it's spelled differently.
Okay.
That's how they've been playing. He's been coaching. There's a problem here.
No argument.
And you gotta step up and take notice. Let's hope. I mean, they should win this game. They should win it going away. They're favored by 7 points.
They should.
They're at home.
They need to.
I'll be very curious to see how the crowd responds, because Dave knows what that's like when it's a cold winter in Chicago and people stick around just to yell at you.
Yeah.
And
when you have the kind of season
I don't know what's gonna happen.
Bears are having for head coaches, winter starts in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, full responsibility. Thanks. Full responsibility for that.
All right, we got Mike Florio next. We'll bring in Mike. We'll ask him. We're seeing coaches be held accountable. Is there anything that could change with the Bears at some point? It seems like a lot of people are taking the pose that they want something different done. I don't know that the Bears are among them. I'm talking about ownership management, but it's an interesting question. We'll talk to Mike Florio next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Won't beat, beat!
What's up, Mr. Gator? What's up, Mr. Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now. He's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Mike is the man, and he is working hard because, believe it or not, David, This is the day. Trade deadline. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's a trade deadline.
Trade deadline
as well
day.
As election day.
The Bears have already made a huge move.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert goes to the Bengals for a seventh round pick.
That could be the player, the guy that turns the season.
Well, he's a good role player for the Bengals. Their offense needs a running game to replace Joe Mixon. Chase Brown had his first 100-yard rushing effort over the weekend. Now they have Khalil Herbert.
And, Mike, we saw the Lions get better too, right?
I heard you before, and I don't hear you now. If I'm supposed to hear you, they need to put the audio back in.
Okay. Let's do that.
Now I hear you. Hi.
All right, Mike.
Hi.
How are you, pal? How's life?
Hi.
Happy trade deadline day. I think there's other things going on. I get confused about what they are.
This is the first time it's ever lined up, though, because this is the first time the trade deadline lands right after week 9. The Browns proposed this bump because of the extra regular season game. So worlds are colliding, and one will be over by 4 o'clock Eastern. The other one may not be over until 4 o'clock Eastern next Tuesday. At least the NFL-related version will be done at 4 o'clock.
And what are you expecting? I mean, we know Za'Darius Smith has gone to the Lions. That makes them better. That helps them to kind of get over the – it does. I mean, he's not a like-by-like replacement, but he's a guy that's played everywhere in the NFC North, and certainly that will help the Lions – get over the Hutchinson injury, but how much action are you anticipating?
Well, it could be like what we've seen in many other years where most of the trades have already happened by now.
Right.
There will be action potentially for more receivers. Some of the names still trickling around, Mike Williams of the Jets, although with Alan Lazard on injured reserve, I don't know why they would move him at this point. Adam Thielen of the Panthers could end up being traded. K.J. Osborne from the Patriots, who signed there in free agency, Kendrick Bourne, lesser, lower-level guys who could go somewhere else and make an impact. And you look at the teams that know they're done, and there are plenty of teams that have the fork stuck in them already that can try to trade players for assets to get better in the future. We've seen some pass rushers go. Za'Darius Smith was one that we reported on Sunday, was expected to happen. It finally has. I was sweating a little bit because obviously if it doesn't happen, then, you know, I get killed. If it does happen, nobody says, hey, you were right. It's only you were wrong that ever matters. Baron Browning is a guy we flagged on Sunday. He got traded to the Cardinals yesterday. Azeez Ojulari from the Giants is the last one that I'm keeping an eye on who could possibly be traded. So receivers and pass rushers. There's one cornerback that I'm watching, and that's Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints veteran, the guy taken right after Patrick Mahomes, the guy that the Saints took after they got leapfrogged for Patrick Mahomes. He could be traded as well. There'd been some steam connecting him to the Chiefs, but the Chiefs made some calls about corners multiple weeks ago and they never heard back from anyone. But there's 6 hours left. A deal can happen today, and it's a deadline-driven league, and people don't like to move to their bottom line until we get to the moment where the clock strikes 12. Because if you start making your moves too early, they will squeeze you off of whatever you've offered.
Mike, Dennis Allen gets fired in New Orleans. Luke Getsy, offensive coordinator in Vegas, gets launched. Are teams becoming more impatient? And might we see this become more of a trend around the league and everywhere but Chicago?
Well, we're getting toward the part of the year where teams are making their plans for next year. You don't just roll out of bed the day after the regular season finale and say, I wonder if I should fire my coach. The seeds are planted in November, maybe even earlier, and then you quietly, discreetly behind the scenes begin the process of putting together your action plan, identifying names, all the while keeping it strictly secret. In some cases, teams will fire the head coach out of respect, like the Packers did when they fired Mike McCarthy with multiple games left. Hey, their reason was, we're going to start looking, and it's not proper and appropriate to McCarthy for winning a Super Bowl to be working behind his back to find his replacement. So I think we're going to see some teams go ahead and pull the Band-Aid off and start their search formally. Other teams are going to wait until the season ends. But as we see more coaches fired in season, there's a chance that could cascade and other moves will be made. You mentioned the Raiders, though. I've been fascinated by Tom Brady. And I don't know that this happened, but I don't think it's crazy to speculate on Tom Brady working the Lions-Packers game for Fox during breaks, reading and responding to text messages about whether or not the team he partially owns should fire its offensive coordinator. Talk about worlds colliding. Wow. And it's not crazy to think that happened.
That's so
well, you know,
juicy.
Didn't he just
interesting?
He just criticized the player being sent off in the game. He didn't like that. He's had no problem talking about it. And they announced that they're not going to give him any punishment for him because technically he shouldn't do that as an owner.
I got the statement from the league, and I have it's the next item on my list to write about. I asked them about it yesterday, and they sent me a statement with some other information. And he has to be egregiously critical before he'll be fined for anything he says that would be critical of officials while he's in the broadcast booth. But I think it should be the same standard for what would get you fined if you're at a press conference or talking to a reporter. I've never heard egregiously critical as being the bar for punishing an owner. I remember not long after Roger Goodell became the commissioner, he had to fine Dan Rooney, one of the guys who went to knock on his hotel room door and tell him he'd been voted in as commissioner, one of his biggest proponents. He had to fine him for something that was far short of egregious. So there's this weird Brady rule that the NFL is applying, and they make it look like they're putting restrictions on him. I don't think they are. I talked to a team that has a belief based upon their interactions with Fox and the NFL about having Brady involved in production meetings. There's a theory out there that Brady doesn't want to be involved in them and that these restrictions are doing him a favor.
Could be true.
That's awesome. Mike, a lot going on. Do you anticipate there'll be either a coach fired in the next week? You know, the Dak Prescott thing is fascinating to me. He's gotten paid, but he's on IR now, right?
I think they need to go with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens when guys who didn't work out in their first stop go elsewhere this year with Sam Darnold and Geno Smith, who's been now in his third year as a starter after being washed out of New York. Why not put Trey Lance on the field and see what he can do? They gave up a fourth-round pick to get him. Circumstances, more than anything else, prevented him from ever reaching his ceiling, whatever it might be in San Francisco. You got a month to play with. We know what Cooper Rush is, and he's 5-1 as a starter, but that's when the Cowboys were good. It's a lost season for Dallas. Let's figure out if Trey Lance is a player or not, who you'd want to have as your backup moving forward.
Quickly, Mike, any talk about changing the overtime rules after another game last night, which was a walk-off that left people very unsatisfied?
Well, you know, we have the different rule for the postseason where even after a touchdown, you're guaranteed one possession. The issue with regular season overtime is, and the NFL found this out the hard way in the early days of Thursday Night Football, and the Buccaneers were the team that ended up doing this. They had an overtime game against the Raiders that went the full 15 minutes, and then they had to play on Thursday. The NFL shrunk it down to 10 minutes. The NFL is very sensitive to players getting too much work in one game, given the possibility they're going to have to play on Sunday and then on Thursday. So I don't see it changing because they want to get these games over with sooner than later so they can justify all the short rest things that they do now to maximize TV standalone broadcast windows.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. We've got Jarrett Payton is going to join us next, and you got to stay with us here on The Score because Will Venable, the new White Sox manager, will be our guest at 9:25. It is Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network.
Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.